Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives. Now, here's your hosts, Stace Cargie and Lindy Turner.
Welcome to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I'm Stace Cargie.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our finances, our environment, our world. And believe it or not, kids in school.
What time is it? I can't believe.
Kids in school.
Can't possibly be that time, can it?
Well, you know, I mean, the teachers report in like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then the kids right after.
Exactly. It's that time.
Holy moly. Soon there's going to be buses going down the street. Please be mindful of the buses.
Yes, absolutely. And give grace to the bus drivers. My sister-in-law is one.
You know, especially when they're those first couple weeks when they're just trying to get the routes down. You know, I mean, you see some people, and most people are very respectful. Understand, you know, hey, when the little sign is out, both sides of the roads are supposed to stop. But, you know, then you've always got that one person.
Exactly.
You know, that's in a hurry.
And, or not paying the attention they should because, oh, I don't know, cell phone.
Right. Right. So please be mindful as the kids go back to school. And as you're thinking about back to school, you may be thinking about back to school shopping.
Yes. Yes. Back to school shopping. And it is so important. But what else do we need to think about when we think about back to shopping days?
Is how am I going to pay for it?
Yes.
How am I going to pay for it? That's a biggie.
Yes. Those expenses are, while they're not truly surprise expenses, you know school's going to start, but it can actually really be a hit to your household budget, and we need to plan for it.
And some strategies. I'm the coupon queen. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I will not buy anything if it is not on sale. I'm very proud of that. But, you know, when you're, I had five kids. At one time, I had five teenagers in my home.
Oh, my.
And nothing puts the fear in you like back to school shopping for five teenagers.
I'll bet that's right.
But, you know, we had some strategies. And one of the things that I did with our teenagers is they each had a budget. They had their own budget. Now, they were able to supplement it if they had summer jobs.
Right.
But they each had a base budget. And I think at the time it was maybe like $150. It wasn't extravagant.
Right.
But this is your budget. What can you do with this? And I'll tell you, they had their money in their little envelopes. And we'd go and they would map out what stores had what on sale because it made them think.
Right.
It made them be really conscious. Do I want one pair of jeans that's going to cost me $40 or can I get two for $20? Right. What's going to be the best place? And my girls, I got to say, I was really proud of them. They loved going to consignment stores. They could make that $150, $200. They could stretch that.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of really great consignment stores around.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about with designer stuff that's almost brand new. Some of the stuff that the girls had bought were even brand new with tags still on it and really could save them a lot of money. So when you're thinking about back to school shopping before you, you know, before you have the mini stroke like I did every year, you're thinking, hey, how can I really make this dollar stretch?
True. And you know what? Even if you don't live near a consignment store or they don't really have what you want, there are some really great online consignment websites as well where you can get things. But I think what you just said is pretty brilliant. Hats off to you there, Mama, for killing two birds with one stone. Not only did you taught the budgeting and decision making, which is a very mature thing, and oh my goodness, a kind of financial literacy that wouldn't it be great if they taught that in school?
Oh, I just saw an article about that in California they're mandating this.
Oh.
And again, I'm like, why, right? Why is this not a thing everywhere?
Exactly. Real life decision making, that life skills. Oh, you know, we need to come back to life skills someday. That is absolutely critical for success. And plus, it not only did it teach them skills, but it gave them power, the decision-making power, and took a lot of the stress off you as a parent when we can't give them everything that they want.
Right. And I think that's a gift.
Yes.
Right. Not being able to give your child everything they want is probably the biggest gift that you can give your child.
That's true.
I mean, really, because that makes them understand the value that's behind what they do have.
Right.
And I remember growing up, you know, my family was what you would consider working poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would always describe my family.
Right.
They were hardworking, but they could just never quite make it to the end of the month. So when it was school shopping time or Christmas time or whatever, they would often do things that were very detrimental to their budget.
Right.
Like getting a payday loan.
Mm.
I remember these things.
Yes.
Where, you know, or they would go, you know, and I'm going to be very honest, they would go to a pawn shop. I mean, there were times when my mom would literally pawn her, you know, her jewelry.
Yeah, my mom did too.
You know, and that's a real thing. And from an adult perspective, looking back, it breaks your heart.
It does, because none of those things mattered.
No.
Really. I mean, you know, It's decision making, you know. How you described how you handled the money with your kids. That's an example of a great decision making tool that you used. Other decision making tools are similar. Like, child may need a backpack, but what kind of backpack does mm-hmm. it need to be? You
right.
know, you know what, maybe I don't even sure what's the coolest thing going is right now. You know, while they may just desperately want a Pokemon backpack, but it might be twice as expensive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by the end of the first semester, Pokemon may be out and something else will be in. So, you know, and that money could have gone for the pens and the pencils or whatever. So if you're on a tight budget, there are decisions that you can make.
I'm also going to throw this out. We have some really great resources here in Cumberland County in particular. If you are in a situation where you do need school supplies, there are a lot of school supply fairs happening. So please keep your eye on, look on Facebook. They're always posted on there. So I know that there's several coming up. Several of the churches will have the backpacks that mm-hmm. already have all the things in them. So I know, just please check in with that. The other thing is the Board of Education. If you are in a situation where you cannot get something that is desperately needed, even if it's a pair of shoes, there is a person at the Board of Education that actually has a little kind of care closet, and they will help you with that as well. So be open-minded to that. There could be other resources that maybe you got to think out of the box a little bit, but Good Samaritans is a fantastic place to start. They do some amazing work. The care closets, I mean, just there's a lot of resources here in Cumberland County. You just have to be willing to take a look and think about what you don't have and need. Because if we're just taking stuff because it's free, we're going to take something perhaps that somebody actually needed that
right.
you didn't need.
Right.
So I would just, you know, say that that's out there as well. But this time of year, there's so many ways to save money. And the first place to start is online, on Facebook, on the marketplace. There's yard sales. There are, you know, again, those back to school fairs that are going on. Take advantage of those. And then also sites like the crazycouponlady.com, it's crazy with a K. They will have all of the items that you need for back to school, you know, your pencils, your crayons, all of that. And what they do is they'll give you a list of where you can find them at the best price.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So, and then pair them up with coupons. So I know for me, I would go and I could buy those little spiral notebooks
right.
for a penny a piece.
A penny a piece.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I was just sitting here thinking, oh, you know, I know there was a time where we needed a bunch really at mm-hmm. the office for training. And I was so excited when I found them for a quarter a piece.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I've got them as low as a penny a piece. Again, just pairing up coupons and looking at those sell sites. And then, of course, with the tax-free shopping, you kind of combine all of that together and really stretch that dollar as much as you can. Because let's face it, I mean, we all need to save money.
Exactly. And, you know, we're talking about kind of personal finances here in this realm, which is really important. But you know what else that really comes to my mind also at back to school time, are my teacher friends.
Yes.
They desperately need savings for classroom supplies. So, you know, while you're buying, if you find notebooks for a penny a piece, how about buying that teacher some notebooks for her classroom?
They would love that.
If you find Kleenex, that's a really great deal. Buy some boxes to leave in the classroom. I know that it's so needed, and the budget they get for their classroom is, you know, completely inadequate, and they spend so much money out of their own pocket. So I've become super sensitive to that because of my teacher friends. So let's keep them in mind as well and share some of our back-to-school savings with the teachers.
And they would love that.
Yes!
The one thing I am going to caution is what we see here in Cumberland County, and I've seen it since I've come here, is back-to-school happens, and then right after back-to-school happens, we have the fair. And so what I have seen with clients that I work with is that they're going out and they're getting perhaps a payday loan or a very high interest personal loan to pay for the back to school stuff. And then it's like, oh, well, I need money to take my kids to the fair. And so I'm going to go get another loan for that. And I'll pay it back when I get my income tax back in January. But then December happens and, you know, you got to buy Christmas gifts. And so it cycles, right? And what people don't understand, and I'm going to kind of pick on these personal loans for a minute. What happens is when you go and you get that first personal loan, if you're thinking about credit, think about a bar. Just think about a line, a straight line. You go and you apply for a loan, your credit automatically dips below that line because that's an inquiry. So it's a hard inquiry. It's going to damage your credit. Why? Because the way that the computer is calculating your score thinks, uh-oh, I don't know if they're going to pay that. So it's they're dinging you before you even start. So it takes time. It takes a few months for your credit to start to kind of come back up to where that line was, right?
As long as you make on-time payments.
Exactly. But now let's say everything's good. You've been making your payments, but you want to get more money for the fair. So they say, hey, you can refinance this today, and we're going to give you an extra $200. Hey, this sounds great. The payment's not really changing that much. Maybe,
right.
You know, maybe a little bit. So what happens is your credit is actually going to dump again because it's a new inquiry.
Right.
And you start now below where your initial dip was. And now you've got to try and climb yourself up again. But now you get to Christmas. You haven't even made it back to the line yet. And you get another refinance. Boom, it drops you again.
Yep.
And then you say, okay, well, I'm going to pay it off in January. Everything will be great. I get my income tax. So you pay it off. Well, now your credit actually dipped again because you don't have the length of history on your payment.
Yep.
That's 30% of your credit score. So now you're really low, right? But then spring happens and you want to take the kids somewhere for spring break. So you get another loan. So it cycles. It is a never-ending cycle.
It's like being a hamster on a wheel. Mm-hmm. You run as fast as you can, and you never get anywhere.
That's right. That's right. Because you keep refinancing this debt, you're not actually paying down on the principal. You haven't even really, you're just dealing with interest at this point. And every time you refinance, there are more fees. Because
yes.
What happens is they're adding on origination fees and doc prep fees and all of these other fees, which is how they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So your debt is growing,
mm-hmm.
but your payment is not getting the debt down. And you've just ended up hitting your credit in addition to it. So
right.
I just really wanted to throw that out there because that is something I see a lot. And there's a lot of misinformation because
yep.
somebody will come to me and say, well, I paid it off early. Doesn't that help my credit? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. That's exactly right. And the type of debt makes a big difference. You talked about the system, the algorithms, you know, take into account the kind mm-hmm. of debt it is. And some debt hurts more than other types of debt. So it can be really hard. So moral of the story is if you happen to be on that hamster wheel and you need help getting off, where could they get some help for advice and how to do that, Stace?
We do that. We help.
We do.
ClinchPal.net is a great place to start. We actually have HUD-certified housing counselors that will work with you for free. We're not going to fix your credit. We're not going to pay your debt off. What we're going to do is we're going to sit down with you. We're going to help you take a look at your budget. Did you say how I said that? Help you take a look at
right.
your budget.
Right.
to help you see where maybe some holes in the boat, where can we plug up some holes? Maybe we're paying for extra subscription services that we don't necessarily need. Maybe we're going out to eat 6 times a week instead of 1 time a week. How can you look at your budget in a different way?
Exactly.
And when you're living it, it's hard to do. And that's why we have those HUD-certified housing counselors that can kind of say, well, what about this? What is this?
Right.
The last thing anybody's ever going to tell you is don't do this, right? We're not going to say, don't get your nails done.
No.
Don't get your hair cut.
No.
Right. Because budgeting, in my mind, is a lot like being on a diet. If you tell me I can't have chocolate ever for the rest of my life, all I'm going to want is chocolate.
Right.
I don't want anything else. Right?
That's it. I can't live without that chocolate.
Right.
And that's all I can think about is that chocolate.
And it's the same thing when I look at budgeting. If you tell me I've got to cut X, Y, and Z out, but that brings me joy, I would rather say, okay, keep the X and maybe take the Y and Z and maybe taper them down.
Right.
Right. What do you have to make you happy or need to have or want to have? That's important. Mm-hmm. Right? Joy is important.
It is. It is. And a plan is important.
Right.
And it's our people help you develop a plan that works for you. Right. We will help you see options. It's like holding up a mirror so that you can see yourself a little bit differently. And you can see that your situation is prettier, possibly, than you thought it was. And so it may be that, here's a thought. You could give up chocolate for a week in order to be able to buy a milkshake next week.
Yeah, baby.
so it's like it's not forever, but there are decisions that can be made that move you closer to where you, it doesn't feel like you're in such a hole. You know, that's an issue sometimes in our personal finances, whether it's a budget issue or a credit issue. It just feels like we're in a dark hole that you cannot climb out of.
Yeah.
And so our counselors will give you a ladder.
You choose
whether or not you step on that ladder.
I think it's so cool that we have the ability to have the staff that can do this and help folks for free.
Yes.
I remember when I was first starting out and I was leaving school, I got very sick and I couldn't afford my tuition anymore, so I had to leave school. And I didn't know where to start, right? I had a whole bunch of medical debt. I was 19 years old and I didn't know where to turn. There wasn't a Clinch Pal at that time where I could call and say, hey, I've got these people calling me and hounding me. Where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's really what these housing counselors do. These HUD certified counselors are there to be able to help you see the options and then what option is are going to work best for you. And it doesn't have to be so prohibitive that you, again, I'm going to go back to losing joy. A few years ago, this is my favorite example. A few years ago, Starbucks came to town.
Uh-huh.
And I was so excited because I am originally from Seattle. So Starbucks is part of my DNA.
Right.
And it's part of my blood. So I was so excited that I could get my drink now. And I found myself going to Starbucks 2-3 times a day.
Ooh.
Because I wasn't mindful, right?
Right.
I would take my debit card and swipe it. And, I'm like, again, it's the chocolate, right? I was without my chocolate for a really long time and now
right?
it's there. So I was going to Starbucks. And then, once the newness wore, I went to maybe, three, four times a week.
Right.
And one day I was there and one of the girls said to me, why don't you use our app? And I'm like, I'm not really an app person.
Right.
And she said, but, you can get free drinks. Well, go back to what I said, I've never bought any. I don't buy anything if it's not on sale. So I'm like, okay, free is good. So I kind of researched this app and realized that, hey, I could just use this app and then I could budget myself my drinks. So what I started to do was instead of paying, my $6 or whatever a drink 3 times a week, that was killing my budget without me being mindful of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, what if when I get paid every 2 weeks or whatever, I just put $25 on my Starbucks app and that will be my budget.
Right.
And I kind of made that deal with myself.
Right.
So now that's what I do when I get paid. I have my little budget for my Starbucks. That's something in my budget that brings me joy.
Yes.
but I don't go over that. So if I'm out of money on my Starbucks app, I don't drink another Starbucks.
There you go.
That's my budget, right? But there's many times, and this is what's ended up happening, that I have more than. So then that next month, I don't have to put anything on my Starbucks app. So I can take that $25 and I can put it to a different debt, or I can put it to a different line item in my budget.
Right. You know, that's kind of same thought process. Same thing, only my husband says this all the time. Same thing, only different. But as like the envelope system for budgeting, you know, it's like, here's how much money I have. I'm going to allocate this much money for Starbucks, this much money for whatever. So you have, you've put your money in an envelope that just happens to be an online app. It's kind of the same process. I have an example of a client that I worked with. It was a gentleman. He was actually a veteran, a disabled veteran, on fixed income, and he had a family, and they desperately wanted to become homeowners. But, you know, they had challenges, had some credit cleanup that needed to happen. Well, you know, in working with them, as you know, one of the first things that we do is we have them give us their household budget. What's your monthly expenses? And then the second thing we do is we ask for their bank statements. And then so we go through the bank statements and really put in where they're spending their money and sit down and compare with them where they think they're spending their money and where they actually are spending their money. And in this gentleman's case, he, again, he would go to Hardee's every day, every morning, and buy coffee and a biscuit. And then he would go back in the afternoon, buy another coffee. Sometimes he'd buy a hamburger, but often it was just basically two cups of coffee and a biscuit. And when you look at that over a month, he was spending just for him about $450 a month at Hardee's.
Wow.
So once you point that out to folks, and because in their mind it's like, oh, well, I mean, I'm just, that's, you know, that can't be my issue. It's just a cup of coffee and a biscuit. But when it's 30 days a month, it's $450. And, you know, we were able to suggest to him, and he decided, I need to limit my Hardee's to, you know, X times a week. And then all of that extra money went to paying off some debt. And it, you know, and within 4 months, they were able to be able to get a home loan and buy
amazing?
A home. Yes, it is. And, you know, it's that chocolate thing. Doesn't mean you're giving Hardee's up forever.
Yeah.
But it's a choice. Is that biscuit more tasty than a home?
That's right. And we see it all the time. Some of the other things that we see are student loan debts, student loans, student loans, student loans. And this is the time really when our college students are going back and you're excited and you're filling out some paperwork and you've done your FAFSA and now you're doing your contracts and you have to do your education, right? That your pre-counseling piece. Well, let me tell you about the pre-counseling piece. As somebody who is a graduate student, the pre-counseling piece will take you about 3 minutes. It will ask you 3 to 4 questions, and if you don't get it right, it will give you the answer. That is the pre-counseling that is done for a student loan.
Wow.
So imagine being 18 years old, and you are signing a document to take out a loan, and you are able to take out much more than tuition. So you may be taking out a $20,000 loan, and your only counseling on it are 3 questions that you were just given the answer to.
Right.
This is what we are asking of our young people.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, they don't have the capacity to be signing that kind of loan document. It's just, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it and I'm going to own it. It's just no. We are asking our children to sign away their futures. Because this money will be due and payable. If they make it the 4 years, fantastic, awesome. Well, now they've got $80,000 in student loan debt.
If they're not careful.
If they're not careful.
Hey, Stace, who do those counselors work for that are...
Ha ha ha. They work for the servicers. Guess who a servicer is? Servicers are the one that's collecting the money for the federal government. Yeah. They make money off of you.
Yeah.
So and they work for
so
them.
They make money on the interest.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, a lot of the other counts, you know, another piece of counselors are the ones that work for the schools.
Yep, work for the school.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they are selling
yep.
their school.
Yep.
They want you to go there, which is not a bad thing,
no.
you know, but that it's just, it's a reminder that get educated, seek outside counsel or assistance, and just make sure that it's the best option.
Right.
And you know what? In all fairness, parents don't know either.
Nope.
You know, especially if it happened to be parents that never had student loans. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a daunting thing, and those loans are very easily for more than your tuition. Isn't that right, Stace?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So what they do is it's a cost of attendance is what they have a whole formula, and they call it the cost of attendance, and that includes what they project for housing, food, transportation, books. So you could have a student living at home that's maybe going to a community college. And can literally get a loan for $10,000 to $12,000 when their tuition is less than $1,000.
Mm.
That is doable. That is possible. And I've seen it happen. And it's frightening. And then you've got the second side of it where you have the Parent PLUS loans. So if you are of a certain income level, the parents will have to take, and I say have to, the parents have to do this before they'll issue the other loans now. So the parents have to take out the Parent PLUS loan. So a Parent PLUS loan is looked at entirely differently. It does not have some of the protections that the other general student loans do.
Correct.
The repayments are different. They don't have all the forgiveness that the regular loans do.
Oh, correct.
So you need to be advised about that. And then there's a third type of student loan, and those are the Ginnie Mae loans. Those are the loans that are from the private lenders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different animal. So if you have a private loan, those have basically no protection. The interest rates are much higher. The fees are much higher. They're going to be credit score based and income based, but they are not going to have any sort of protection for you as far as repayment.
Right.
So understand the type of loan, the term of the loan, the repayment, the different options that are available, and understand that just because you heard that something on the news said that they were going to forgive student loans, there's a lot more to it than that. It's not that simple.
And never, ever take out a loan with the idea that it will be forgiven.
Mm-mm. Never.
Or that it will be in deferment forever.
No.
That, you know, debt is a serious subject.
Yeah.
And it's not to be taken lightly. And it's not that debt is always bad, but debt is always serious.
Yes.
So be educated. That's where
we
want to go.
It's a
but hey, Stace, are we saying student loan debt is bad?
No.
No. We're not saying that, oh, my goodness, it's the worst thing ever.
No.
We're saying be smart.
Yes.
It can be quicksand. It can
yes.
be tricky. And don't ever borrow for what you don't actually need.
Yeah. And be careful if you're going to a private school versus a university type situation. There's a very big difference. I went originally to one of those online schools back in the day. And I just finally finished paying off those loans because the way that they do their loans is a little bit different. It's just click, 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 click. I didn't know. I thought it was the same thing. And guess what? I borrowed way too much for a degree that really was not worth the paper it was written on. It was not transferable. And when I went back to school, I had to do everything all over again. So I double paid for an education that I didn't get. It's very sad. So
yeah.
There's a lot going on with it. But other, you know, hey, this is an exciting time. Other than that, now that we've just downed you with all this, no, honestly,
we're doing it, but
enjoy.
We're not.
Enjoy
it's be educated.
College experience. Enjoy your trade school experience. Enjoy it. And you know what? I told my kids this from the get-go. It doesn't matter if you go to university. It doesn't matter if you go to trade school. It doesn't matter if you go to school. But educate.
Yes.
Knowledge is always valuable. Always.
Yes.
You will never go wrong with any kind of knowledge.
Yes.
So seek it out.
And you know what? I will say this. I've always said this, is that as a parent, the only thing that we can give our children that can never be taken away from them is an education.
There you go.
So, you know, education is a good thing. And but part of it, that education is being smart in the decision making.
And with that, that goes another episode. We'll see you next week. This is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell on WAEW.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.